Every time you take them, you just get a little weaker, a little weaker, a little weaker. I said, boy, she got the best attitude. I tell you that the Lord's people, there's nobody like them. There's just nobody like them. Nobody like them. All right, let's read verse 8 down through 17. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Why did he do that? Because God passed by and proclaimed his name, said that he'd keep mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And oh, he fell down and worshiped. And he says, now, if I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, as such as not have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other gods, for the Lord whose name is jealous. Jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Now there in verse 14 it says, my name is jealous. That's capitalized. Jealous. God said that's one of his names. He's got a lot of names. The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. The Lord our banner. The Lord will provide. But here he says he's jealous. Now his jealousy is not like you and I would be jealous. And I'll get to that here in a little bit. But the last time I preached from here, I preached on the seven glorious attributes of God himself. But and here's the thing. The scripture said in John 1 and 5, God is light, holy, righteous, infinitely so. And God is love, he says in John. God is love. And he told the Romans in Romans 11, he says, behold the goodness of God towards you. Behold the goodness of God towards you. And then he turned around and the severity of God towards them. Goodness and severity. And I tell you, as God reveals himself and deals with men, we see both sides of this blessed character of God. Light and love. Goodness and severity. I mean, light is holiness, righteousness. And yet he goes over here and says he's love. You want to see his goodness? His goodness was in Eden. When he gave the promise, he said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman, he told the serpent. That was the goodness of God that gave us that blessed promise. And that was fulfilled and accomplished on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you want to see God's severity when he took Adam and said, drove him from the garden. Goodness in giving us a promise in the Messiah, in Christ. And the severity when that man sinned and he run him out of the garden. And I tell you, you lost life and you lost fellowship with me that day. And when God is love, He provided the ark for Noah. But as light, holiness, and righteousness, He destroyed the old world and only saved 8 souls. God's goodness sent angels to deliver Lot out of Sodom. But His severity rained fire and brimstone down on Lot and then on the Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. God as love preserved His blood, His children, His people under the blood in Egypt. But as light, He went through there and slew all the firstborn of Egypt. So you see, love and light, goodness and severity. As goodness, He spared the whole nation of Israel because Moses interceded with Him. God spares us. He spared not His own Son and gave Him for us, and with Him freely gives us all things. But the other side of that is the long-suffering of God waits on the vessels of wrath already fitted for destruction. And I tell you, in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, made of that woman, came, born of that woman, there's two sides to our blessed Lord's character. He was full of grace, full of it. It abounded in Him. It still does. But He's also full of truth. He never failed to tell the truth. Full of grace toward sinners. Full of truth to them who rejected it. You know, He said, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture said He is a friend of publicans and sinners. But He is also the enemy of the self-righteous and the hypocrite. He was moved with compassion when He saw people, and people as sheep without a shepherd. But He turned around and said He was angry at them for the hardness of their hearts. He wept tears over Jerusalem. And He got a scourge, got a little whip, and went in the temple and drove out the money changers and the people selling sacrifices in there. He drove them all out and overturned their tables. Oh my! Full of grace for His people. Full of truth against those who were against Him. He pronounced, "Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the meek." And He went on and said, blessed are they in Matthew 5. And He got over in Matthew chapter 23. And it's woe, 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 woe to the Pharisees and the self-righteous and those who would not listen to His gospel and believe Him. We have the love of Christ which passes understanding. And yet all at the same time, it says that men will one day flee from the wrath of the Lamb that sits upon His throne. And you know there in Exodus 34:7, He said, God said this. He said He's merciful, verse 6, merciful, gracious, and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. And what happened to Moses when this happened? It said Moses made haste and bowed his head to the earth and worshipped. Now this, this is the effect of God's blessed revelation of Himself. When God showed Moses, the first thing He done when He met him there in Exodus 33, hit him in a cleft of a rock. But here, when he proclaimed the name of the Lord and told him all this, Moses made haste, and I mean that is as spontaneously. His worship was spontaneous. He quickly fell down before the Lord, got down on the earth, and worshiped, bowed all the way to the earth. How come? Because his heart was deeply, deeply affected before God and his revelation. Keeping mercy? Showing me his goodness? Showing me his mercy? Showing how gracious he is, how long-suffering he is? Showing me his truth? Bowed down and worshiped. Couldn't help but do anything but that. And how many times when we sit in a service like this and our hearts bow down immediately when we hear something about God. Bow down immediately and worship. And worship. And oh, look over here. Keep Exodus 34. Look in Genesis 17. Look over here at Genesis 17. Oh my. Look at these first three verses here. Abram was 99 years old. That's older than any of us here. And listen to what it said. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be upright. Be sincere. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. How'd Abraham react to that? Clap his hands and jump up and down. So, God is, you know, jumped up and down. No, no, he fell on his face. Fell on his face. That's the response that real people, God's people, people that God reveals himself and gives a revelation of himself to, that's the first thing they do, is they bow down. They humble themselves. They come down before God. Abraham fell on his face. And when he is on his face, God talked with him when he is down there. And old Scott used to say it all the time, make your headquarters in the dust. He got you out of the dust, so don't get up. Don't get up. Joshua, he was fighting the Lord's enemies. And then all of a sudden, the captain of the Lord of hosts came to him. And he asked him who he was. He said, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. You know what Joshua did? He bowed to him and said, oh Lord. He said, you're the one winning all these battles. It's not me. It's you winning all these battles. And oh my, I tell you what, I know this without a shadow of doubt. I remember Bruce Crabtree. Oh, me and him talk about it all the time. But here's the thing about it. If you don't stay low and you're one of God's, he'll put you low. And he deals with preachers different than he does anybody else. He will not let his preachers get up and get to feeling too good about themselves. He won't do it. We have to get up and preach with authority. We got to act like we know what we're talking about. We got to preach with authority. We have to preach what we know. We have a message to declare. But I do know this, that God has ways of keeping his preachers down. He has ways of doing that. And Moses, listen, Moses didn't resent God's ways when he said, I'm going to visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Your father, you've despised me. Your sons are going to despise me, and your son's sons are going to despise me. Moses said, that's all right. That's okay. Didn't resent God's ways. And then look what he says here now in verse 9. And he says, now, if now, and he said this two or three times, and like we talked about this morning, if I have found grace in thy sight, that's why we say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know Christ. If I found grace, Is God giving me grace? And he said, if I've now found grace in thy sight, listen to what he says. Let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. Please go among us. Oh, we go among us. We're going to be trapped. Go among us. Come among us. Oh, listen. Moses pleads his relationship with God for the good of others. And his life was bound up with these people. He said, Lord, go among us. He didn't say, go with me. Go among us. And that's what go among us. Come among us. Lord, come down among us. And that's what he's saying, come among us. He identifies with the Lord's people. And then, oh, look what he goes on to say. He said, for it is a stiff-necked people. It's a stiff-necked people. You know, it was their need, their sinfulness, their need that Moses persists to the Lord. He speaks, God, if you're gracious and you will give us grace and show us grace, come among us. I'm not denied that this people's stiff-necked. I know they're stiff-necked, and you said they're stiff-necked. You remember what he said over here in Exodus 32, 9 and 10? Look what he said over here. God said about these people after they had that golden calf. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and I may consume them, and I'll make of thee a great nation. And Moses pleaded, and God spared them that day. He pleaded with them. And I tell you, it's a stiff-necked people, but it was their need that Moses presents to the Lord, to God's grace. And I tell you something, nobody but the Lord could bear with them, and nobody but the Lord could bear with us. Do you feel like that? That nobody but the Lord could put up with you? Could bear with you? And then Moses acknowledges what God's already said against them. But in faith, he turns it into a plea for him to go among us. Yes, they're stiff-necked. But oh Lord, if we found grace, go among us. Go among us. Go among us. And I tell you what, that's what our Lord Jesus Christ said. All those Pharisees gathered around and they said, he's a friend of publicans and sinners, and your master eat with sinners. They came to him and said, oh, your master's eating with sinners. That's the awfulest thing anybody can do is eat with a sinner. You know what our Lord said? He looked at him and said, they that are whole are well, they don't need a doctor. They don't need a physician. You know who needs a physician? You know he needs a doctor. They that are sick. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll have mercy. That's what God said, I'll have mercy. And I'll not have sacrifice. Don't bring me anything you got. He said this. He said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. You go learn what that means. And everybody, you look, I think it's in Luke 14:11 or somewhere in there, it says that they brought everyone that was sick and everyone that had had diseases, and they brought them to Jesus and laid them at his feet. And you know what the next verse said? He healed all of them who had a need of healing. Everybody that's got a need, that's who Christ deals with. And here's his blessed, here's how glorious he is. He creates the need, so we will. We didn't even know we was needy people till he taught us we was needy people. I was a self-righteous Pharisee, legalist, holiness, call it what you want to. And I didn't know, listen, God have mercy on me. But I tell you what, when he made me know who he was, I prostrated myself on my living room floor and said, God, if you let me live, and you have mercy on me, if I ever say another word, I'll always tell the truth on you. He brought me, beloved, where I'd rather die than lived, because he brought me that low. And I'm grateful he did. If he hadn't, I'd still be out lying on God, or I'd be out in the world, one or the other. So he brings us to the place where he gives us a need. And then he shows us grace and makes us do like Moses did, plead for grace. Oh, I tell you what, I'm glad this man receives sinners, they said. I sure thank God he does. And then look back here in verse 9, what else he says. He says, not only is it a stiff-necked people, now watch what he says here, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. What he does, he uses us all the way through here. He identifies himself with these stiff-necked people. He said, our iniquities and our sins. That's what he says. Our iniquities and our sin. Moses just puts himself right among them. You say, yo, they're stiff-necked. Oh, Lord. But I tell you what. Forgive us. Forgive us of our sin and our iniquity. He identifies himself with them. He said, oh, and you know, God has so blessed him. But he took his place right with the Lord's people. Right with them. And then look what he says. Take us for thine inheritance. Well, they're stiff-necked people. Oh, yes. But you're a God of grace. You're a God that keeps mercy. You're gracious and long-suffering and good and truthful and blessed. So take us. I know we're just sinners. I know, Lord, pardon our iniquity and our sin. But take us. Take us and make us your inheritance. How would you like to inherit me? He said, to inherit us, Lord. God don't need no inheritance. He owns it all. He owns everything. This world and everything in it belongs to him. But Paul said this. He said, oh, listen, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the inheritance of the saints in light. God don't need no inheritance, but yet he says, make us your inheritance. Inherit a bunch of sinners? Yeah. He said he was gracious. Take us for thine inheritance. Oh my. You know what Jeremiah said like this? Said, you know, we're the Lord's portion. How in the world? The Lord's portion. All, just a few of us are here tonight. God says, they're my inheritance. Moses says, take us for your inheritance. What in the world would God want with us? But you know when he done it? He took us to be his people and his inheritance for the family. And Moses said, take us to be your inheritance. Oh my. Then look what he says here in verse 10. Oh boy, to be in there. Take us for your inheritance. Pardon our iniquity and our sin. It's ours. It's ours. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. God's a covenant God. You know, we watched, Shirt and I was coming somewhere from somewhere the other night, and I said, see that rainbow? See, yeah, I see that rainbow. Every time you see a rainbow, that's God That's a sign of the covenant that God made with Noah. And how would we know that if we didn't find out in God's Word? I'd never been a rainbow because it had never rained. But now when you see a rainbow, said, oh, that's God's promise. Sometimes you'll think it's going to rain and then the rain get up close to you. You don't get up close to you. But God said, I'll never destroy the world with water ever again. How come? How are we going to know, Lord? You'll see a bow in the cloud. Every time I see one, I think of that. And then I think of how pretty it is. You know, you see a full rainbow. I said, boy, that is beautiful, ain't it? And you know why it's beautiful? It's God keeping a promise. And His promises, all of them are beautiful. Oh my. And then He says here in verse 10, I make a covenant with you. And before all thy people, I'm going to do marvels. Oh, I'm going to do marvels. Such as not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And among all the people which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. I tell you, you know what the greatest act I've seen God do? I tell you, the greatest act I've seen God do. Save me. That's the greatest marvel He's ever done that I've ever seen. He saved me. Now that's a marvel, ain't it? Look at marvels all over the place here. He said, I'll do marvels. Look at all the marvels. And what are your marvels? He said, marvels. Oh my. And I tell you what. See the work of the Lord. Oh, we see His work. It's a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Now watch what He says now. Observe that which I command thee this day. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Observe it. Behold, I'm going to drive out the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And He drove out the Moabites. Seven nations. And here's what He said. He said, I'm going to drive out all of the enemies. I'm going to destroy them. And then He says, take heed to thyself. Take heed to thyself. He's talking to Moses now. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go. Don't get in a covenant with them. Don't. As He said, now you're going among a bunch of heathens. He said, now don't you get in a covenant with these people. Because if you do, it'll be like a snare. It'll get you. It'll get you. It'll snag you. Huh? And He said, and that's just what I want you to do when you go amongst this people. They've got altars. Break them down. They've got images. Destroy them. They've got groves that they set up and go in these places to worship. He said, tear them down. Tear them down. Be separated from the people that you go into. For thou shalt worship no other god. Be separated. You'll be snared. Destroy their altars. Destroy their altars. And I tell you what, I'm going to tell you something. God destroyed my altar and He destroyed yours. You know what He said? We turned from idols to serve the living God. And He said, for thou shalt worship no other god. Don't you ever worship another god. Don't ever consider worshiping another god. And look what He said. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. You know why He says He's jealous? He said, I'll have no gods before me. I'll have no gods before me. Here's the thing. God's jealous for His glory. He said, I will not give my glory to another. And if any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. Don't glory in the flesh. Don't glory in any accomplishments. Don't glory in any word. Don't glory in any doctrine. Don't you dare go to another god. You'll rob me of my glory. And I tell you, I forget where it's at over in Psalm, but it says, you know, they rob God. And that's what it says, rob Him of His glory. You know what robs God of His glory? Man bragging about the ability of his free will. That robs God of His glory. Man talking about he can live. He got to live of such a life that he don't sin anymore. People say, as far as I know, I ain't got any sin in my life, and if the Lord calls me, I'll be ready to go. You know why I don't have any sin in my life? I'm going to tell you, I don't either. And you know why? Because Christ put it all away. And because of Christ, I'm ready to go. Yeah. Not because I've done anything. Because He did everything.
Amen.
Huh? And oh, God said, I'll not give my glory to another. And God is jealous for the affections, for the heart of His people. He said, my son, give me your heart. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give me your heart. If a person's got your heart, they got everything there is about you if they've got your heart. And God said, give me your heart. Oh, give me your heart. He says, set your affection on things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Huh? Oh my. Set your affection on things above. Oh, listen. God knows where our hearts are, where our affections are. And like I said this morning, if there's any spot in my heart, in my soul, that would keep me from Christ, God Himself, destroy it, take it away. Oh my. And then I'll tell you something else God is jealous for. He's jealous of His people. What do I mean by that? He says, listen, touch not my prophet, do my people no harm. And He said this in Zechariah, he that touches you, touches the apple of my eye. Oh my, he's jealous for His glory. I'm not going to give my glory to somebody else. And that's what we do by God's blessed grace. When we gather to worship, we gather to bring glory to Him. Huh? Oh my. Then look what He says in verse 15. God is jealous. His name is jealous. You know, and if somebody's got your heart, there's no reason to be jealous. People say, I ain't got a jealous bone in my body. Jealousy's not in your bones, it's in people's hearts. And as far as men go, is what you know what God said about men's jealousy? He said, jealousy's crueler than the grave. Huh? Crueler than the grave. And you know, when you got somebody, you got them. When they got you, they got you. And that's why God said, I'm jealous. I'm jealous over my glory. I'm jealous over your affections. I want your heart. I want your heart. I want you to, and listen. And then He's jealous for His people. Don't you dare touch them. Don't you touch them. Don't you touch them. You know what our Lord said? It'd be better for a man if to offend one of these little ones. That's what He calls us. It'd be better for him that offends one of these little ones, take a millstone. You ever seen a millstone? Grind, grind, grind. Put a millstone around his neck, take him out, throw him in the ocean. So that would be better for him doing that. That's how God, what He thinks of His people. He ain't going to let His children be mistreated. And I tell you, they ain't nobody going to get one with it. Then look what He says in verse 15-17. And oh my, this is, lest thou make it, my name is jealous, so don't you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. See, talking about your affections now. Don't you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Don't enter into agreement with them. And then they go a whoring after their gods. If you make a covenant, you'll end up going a whoring after their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. of an awful God. Awful, need a sacrifice of a false God. And thou take of their daughters, don't take their daughters to your sons, and don't take your sons to their daughters, and go whoring and make thy sons go whoring after other gods. This whoring here means spiritual adultery. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, listen, and this is the reason why God says, don't be not unequally yoked together, a believer with an unbeliever. This is the very reason. He said, if you yoke up with somebody that doesn't believe like you, and you enter into covenant with them, that person's going to pull you away. You're not going to bring them. It's a rare, rare instance that somebody would bring somebody. That's why I said, don't you be unequally yoked together. Don't do that. And that's what he's telling here. Don't you go out in the world, and don't you go to these people with their strange gods. Don't you go and see their idols. And don't you go, because that's spiritual adultery. And I tell you what, I've seen angels standing on church doors, setting up in church doors, statues of Jesus in churchyards, cement, made out of cement. Why would you put something made out of cement? If you want something cement, get you something worth looking at, a deer or something. Paint it. You know, get you a turkey and paint and set it out there. A frog on a log or whatever. But you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but get anything besides make it out of cement. Molding. Oh, listen. Made out of gold. Made out of silver. That's why I said, don't be unequally yoked together. Don't do that. Because you're going to suffer for it. You'll suffer greatly for it. And you know, God give us a single eye and give us a single heart after Him and His glory. You see crosses. Oh, I don't know how many people. You know, they have crosses and they have them on buildings, have them around their neck, have them in their ears and everything. See them in people's yards. Easter time, they stick them out there and they put these scarlet scarves around them, you know. And Paul, he said, he gloried in the cross. He said, God forbid that I glory in anything but the cross. Now, what did he mean? He was not talking about a wooden cross. He wasn't talking about that. He wasn't talking about a Celtic cross. It wasn't a physical thing that he was talking about. He's talking about who was on that cross and what was accomplished on that cross and who it was accomplished for. He said, that's why we're going to glory in the cross. We're going to glory in Him who was on that cross. We're going to glory in what He accomplished on that cross. And we're going to glory. And that's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. And our Lord says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, He didn't mean for us to go out here and get us a wooden cross and put a wheel on it and follow Him around. He's talking about taking up our daily burdens and our daily trials and our daily things that goes on in our life. Take it up. You're going to follow me. You're going to suffer with me. And that's what He's talking about. Huh? So God, His name is Jealous. Give us a single eye. See Him. Give us a single heart to worship Him in His glory. Amen. Oh, our blessed, blessed Master. Oh, our Lord Jesus. Lord, You've been merciful to us again. You've been gracious to us again. You've been kind to us again. Lord, as Moses said, come among us. Go among us. Lord, You've come among us. And we bless You for it. And Lord, make it our heart's desire. Make it in our heart's desire to love one another. To love You. Love Your word. Love Your people. And Lord, most of all, desire Your glory in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our wills, in our homes, where we go. Help us, please, to glorify You. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, appreciate you, and I'll see you Wednesday, God willing.